Have you found that to be true? The Lord is faithful. I just got made aware of another announcement. There is a sign-up sheet down in the foyer for Thanksgiving dinner at Crestwood next Thursday. We need helpers for serving, for cleanup, and for setup. And also, if you have interest in coming there and having dinner with us, sign up for that as well. We need to kind of have an idea of how many people to expect. So are you happy to be here this morning? As I was preparing for this message, I kept thinking about Thanksgiving, and I'm so appreciative of Nancy's opening because whoever here was here in Sunday school this morning, you are dismissed now. You can go home because it's going to be the same message that you hear again now. But I was thinking about the pilgrims and how they went through the hardships and how, you know, they called it the Thanksgiving feast after that first year, and there was only about half of the pilgrims left. And Nancy shared with us this morning that even at some meals, they only had like 5 kernels of corn apiece for their meal. But yet, they were thankful. They praised the Lord for what they had. And I wonder if we're like that. Or maybe we should be a poverty-stricken nation where we would appreciate the things that we have and not expect them or feel entitled to them. But anyway, the message today is a joyful message for at least the most part of it. And I pray that I'll be able to deliver that message joyfully and the way that it was presented. And most of it's coming from the Psalms. So the context of our message today is coming out of Psalms chapter 89. And we're going to read verses 1 through 18. Psalms 89. And you know, if you go through the Psalms, you'll find praises everywhere in there. Whoever the psalmist is, and a lot of times it's David, but he knew what his Lord had provided and who he was. So Psalm 89, verses 1 through 18. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up the throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all of them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, Lord, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stills them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast shattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture this morning. Lord, we thank you for your whole book that is our words for life, that if we will study this and learn it and understand it, Lord, it would guide us in our walk with you. So, Lord, help us to understand this passage. Help us, Lord, to be joyful in our hearts and know that you are God and that you hold us up in your strong right hand. Lord, speak through these lips of clay things of eternal value, Lord, that you might be glorified. Lord, we pray this in the power and authority of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This psalm, the first four verses establish God's covenant with David. And then in verses 5, 6, and 7, it draws us into the psalm as well. It talks about the congregation of the saints. Now, that would be us. Sons of the mighty, again. The assembly of the saints in verse 7. And it talks about how greatly God is to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. You know, so often today I don't believe that God is held in the reverence and esteem that he deserves, that he demands. And I'm going to attempt to show you throughout the scriptures this morning that how God demands that we reverence him. And then in the next verses, the next 10 verses, it talks about God's power and his might and the things that he has done for us and why he is greatly to be reverenced. And I have another portion that I want to read to you before we really get into the context of this message. And if you would go to Psalms 66. And this is a psalm of David. Psalm 66. And it says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hath proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." I think David knew that God was his buckler, his chief salvation, that he was the one that his strength came from. And without God in his life, David would have been nothing, just like we are. So I think, you know, we talk about our life goal, or the thing that we have. We say, like in Matthew 28:18, it tells us, "Go ye therefore into all the nations and make disciples of the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." If that isn't done without glorifying God, then it's nothing. If we give without glorifying God, if we give thinking that it may be our salvation or we may be able to please God or whatever, and if we don't do it for the glory of God, it's nothing. It's worse than nothing. I think about the Gideons, and our faith statement is that we would not that anyone would be left behind, and we do that by distributing Bibles and witnessing to others and in prayer. But if it wasn't for the glory of God, the organization would be of no value. I think about evangelists and prosperity preachers, people who don't preach all of the word, and they're not doing it for the glory of God. A lot of times they're doing it for their own gain. They're doing it for reasons that are ill-led. I think our mission statement is do it all for the glory of God. And that isn't my words, but if we go into, 1 Corinthians 10:31. If you want to go there with me, it says, "So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So it's not my words. This is scriptural. God says, "Do this for my glory." In Hebrews 12:28, it talks about acceptable service. Some of these I have written down, and some of them I'm just going to. I have a number of passages that talk about glorifying God, and I just want you to understand how important it is to God that we glorify Him. And Hebrews 12:28 says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." That sounds like glorifying God to me. Acceptance with reverence and godly fear. If we go to 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to reference verses 16 through 23. And I'm going to go back a couple of verses before that. It says in verse 14 we'll start. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." And then it gives some sound advice here. "Rejoice evermore." That's what we're talking about here. Rejoice, praising the Lord. "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Glorify the Lord. If we go into the book of Revelation, there are some excellent verses in there that talk about glorifying the Lord. And I'm only going to read three verses out of there today, but there are many, many. First one would be Revelation 1, 5, and 6. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, "And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth you and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." To him be glory and dominion forever. We go to Revelation 4:11. Should have had a sword drill. I've got a whole bunch of references here, but I'm not going to read all of them. But if you go through your Bible and you look up in your concordance, glorifying God, you'll be busy for hours reading verses and what it is to glorify Him. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So He deserves glory and honor and power. He created us. He created everything. And when the day that we were saved, it was His grace that saved us. It wasn't by any works of our own. So how could we not worship and praise Him every day of our lives for that? Revelation 5, which is just a few verses over. Revelation 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." That's what we need to do. We need to fall down on our knees and worship God. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." There's another way to glorify God. I only had two pages of notes, and I just got done with the first page, so we'll be here another half hour or more. Is that okay? No? And then I want to go back to Psalms 86 and verse 12. And I put a note beside that that said pilgrims. And I think this would have been their prayer. Psalms 86, verse 12. "I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify you, your name, forever." I will glorify your name forever, ever. Yeah, if we go to John 15:8, it tells us, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." All of these verses are talking about God's glory and how we can, what that looks like, how God can be glorified, what we can do in our lives to glorify Him, and how worthy He is. And I wonder, my thought today is, do we give God the glory that He deserves? Do we give Him, do we glorify Him with our mouths when our hearts are far away? Are we double-minded? Are we hypocrites? Or do we glorify him in everything that we say and do? Because our mouth is the eye gate of our heart. And it reveals the intents of our heart. And if we are full of God and in glorifying him, we won't be full of ourselves. Be less of ourselves and more of him, and we will better be able to glorify him, which he so richly deserves. And until we get that figured out, we talk about revival until the church figures out that that God is to be glorified, that it's all about God and it's not about our agenda or money or works or baptism or anything else, but it's about the grace of God. And my prayer, I guess, you know, as I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, these pilgrims were, I think they had it right, because they dealt with such hardship. They lost half of their people through the winter. They had hardly anything to eat, but yet they had faith in the Lord, called upon him to give them what they needed. They knew what it was like to be broken and empty without anything to eat, and all they had was their faith. I think the pilgrims had it right, and I think too often we live in a society that has got it too easy. We have everything given to us. We're in a throwaway society. We don't know how to do things for ourselves in a lot of cases. But brothers and sisters, we need to put God in his place where he belongs before we can go out there and evangelize and try and lead others to him. That's been on my heart. And I've been, this message is for me as much as it is for anybody else, because I've been guilty of the being comfortable and sometimes dismissing the Lord in my life and doing it myself. So as Thanksgiving comes, think about the pilgrims. Think about the hardships they endured. Think of the way they suffered. But yet they clung to God because he was the one true living God that they could depend on to do what he said he would do. So I just encourage you to think about that. And like I said, this message has been on my heart. And if I could do another Sunday, we would go back to Ezekiel chapter 8, and we would take a look at what happens when God's people fall away from him, when they begin to worship other idols. And especially, it talks about glorifying the creation rather than the creator. And that's, according to that chapter, is the worst abomination that you can do to the Lord, is to glorify his creatures, the things that he has created over him, and dismiss him. Say that God doesn't know me. He isn't here anymore. That's not true. God is here. He sees everything that we do every second and every minute of the day. He knows every hair on our heads. And he wants us to have fellowship with him. He wants us to be his children and for us to be faithful to him. So in the coming days, think on that. Our precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message of joy, but Lord, also a sobering message, one that we need to ponder on. Lord, we cannot take you lightly. We can't serve you half-heartedly. We can't put the world on one shoulder and you on the other. and walk that fence line. Lord, we can't do that. Lord, we have to serve you wholly with every bit of our hearts, 100% yours. And Lord, until we do that, we know that you can't use us fully. Lord, we can't know the joy that you have for us, and we can't know the deep, abiding peace that you intend for us to have through fellowship with you. Lord, we thank you again, and we praise you, and we glorify you in everything that we say and do. Lord, we pray these things in the power and authority of your Son, Jesus. Amen.